This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, numerous new theories on lunar origins, Earth-sized planet in the Alpha Centauri system, and Sagittarius A star caught snacking. Our nearest neighbour in space, the Moon, has long fascinated mankind. But how exactly did it form? The current model says that another body, smaller than our own planet, hit the young proto-Earth, with the Moon forming from the debris, but the details of this model are not well defined. October saw the publication of not one, but three papers on the origins of the Moon. Two of the new studies, published in the journal Science, describe different models of the actual impact. Every rocky body in the solar system has a distinct chemical fingerprint which distinguishes it, allowing us to identify meteorites which land on the Earth as coming from, say, Mars or the Moon. But the Moon's chemical makeup is startlingly similar to that of the Earth. If it formed in an impact between the Earth and another object, then its composition should be different, incorporating the chemical fingerprint of the impactor as well. These two new studies take different approaches to the problem, but both find solutions which produce a Moon-sized satellite with an Earth-like composition. One study, by researchers at Harvard University, show that a giant impact onto a very fast-spinning young Earth, with a day of between just 2 and 3 hours, could result in a debris disk made mostly of material ejected from the Earth's mantle. The second study, by Robin Canup of the Southwest Research Institute in Boulder, Colorado, finds that if the impactor was of a similar size to that of the proto-Earth, then the resulting planet and Moon would both contain material from the impactor as well, resulting in them both having a similar composition today. The third study, published in the journal Nature on the same day, backs up the impact model of the Moon's formation by studying one particular chemical in lunar rocks. Chemical elements can exist as different isotopes of different masses. Geological processes such as volcanic activity affect certain isotopes more than others, whilst leaving the relative abundances of some elements virtually unchanged. A cataclysmic event such as that which created the Moon, whatever the size of the impactor, would have altered the isotopic content of so-called volatile elements, those which can exist as a vapour above temperatures of around 1,000 degrees. One such volatile element for which volcanic activity has little effect is zinc. A team led by Randall Paniello of Washington University in Missouri studied the isotopic content of zinc in lunar rocks, compared it with that of the Earth, and found that the Moon is depleted in lighter isotopes of zinc relative to the Earth, Mars, and primitive meteorites. In the impact scenario, the collision formed a cloud of dust and gas made up of the mantle of the Earth and possibly part of the impacting body. Since lighter isotopes can move faster, they can more easily escape this cloud before the Moon finally condenses, leaving just the heavier isotopes behind and explaining the chemical composition of the Moon we see today. While all of these studies provide valuable new insights into the nature of our nearest neighbour, the question of the Moon's formation is still not yet fully answered. The team of astronomers responsible for finding the first known planet around a star other than the Sun have now discovered the closest exoplanet to date. Published in the journal Nature on October 17th, their latest discovery is also the smallest known planet orbiting a Sun-like star. This new discovery has been made using the HARPS instrument, a high-resolution, high-precision spectrograph located at the 3.6-metre telescope at ESO's La Silla Observatory in Chile. Using the Doppler effect, the same effect which makes the sound of a siren change in pitch as an ambulance races past, HARPS can measure the tiny changes in the colour of light from a star as it is gradually pulled out of position by the gravitational force of an orbiting planet. Larger planets have stronger gravitational fields, which in turn cause more significant effects on their host stars, so small planets similar to the Earth are hard to detect because their gravitational influence is much smaller. The effect also depends on how close the planet is to its star. The closer a planet is, the shorter its orbit, and the greater the effect on the speed of its host star. This means that, using this radial velocity technique, the easiest planets to find are large gas giants orbiting very close to their stars. Indeed, most exoplanets found so far using this technique have been of this type. Because of the high precision of the HARPS instrument, however, it is capable of finding much smaller planets in larger orbits. The Alpha Centauri system is just 4.3 light-years from our own solar system, and actually consists of three stars. The brightest, Alpha Centauri A, and its fainter companion Alpha Centauri B, are both similar to the Sun, are in a close orbit with each other, while their much fainter and redder companion, known as Proxima Centauri, orbits at a greater distance. The system has been searched for planets in the past, but none were found until now, since other instruments lack the precision needed to find such small planets. This new planet has a minimum mass similar to that of the Earth, and is in orbit around Alpha Centauri B, a star which is slightly cooler and smaller than the Sun. The small mass of this planet highlights the precision of HARPS. The pull it exerts on Alpha Centauri B is just 50 centimetres per second. Despite the similarities with our own planet, this newly discovered world is unlikely to host life as we know it, since it orbits its parent star at just 4% of the distance between the Earth and the Sun, completing an orbit in just 3 1/4 Earth days. And finally, NASA's newest set of X-ray eyes on the sky, the Nuclear Spectroscopic Telescope Array, or NuSTAR, has taken its first look at the giant black hole at the centre of our galaxy, and caught it in the middle of a flare. Launched on June 13th, NuSTAR is the first telescope capable of producing focused images of the highest energy X-rays. For 2 days, the telescope teamed up with other observatories to look at Sagittarius A star, the name given to the compact radio source located at the very centre of the Milky Way. Observations show a massive black hole lies at this location. Participating telescopes included the Chandra X-ray Observatory, which looks at lower energy X-ray light, and the Keck Observatory atop Mauna Kea in Hawaii, which took infrared images. Compared to supermassive black holes at the centres of other galaxies, Sagittarius A star is relatively quiet. Active black holes tend to swallow stars and other fuel from around them, but Sagittarius A star is thought only to nibble or to not eat at all, a process that is not fully understood. When black holes consume fuel, whether a star, a gas cloud, or as recent Chandra observations have suggested, asteroids, they erupt with extra energy. In the case of NuSTAR, its state-of-the-art telescope is picking up X-rays emitted by matter very close to the black hole, in a region where particles are accelerated to speeds close to that of light and heated to temperatures of around 1 million degrees Celsius. These new images from NuSTAR, released during October, combined with the simultaneous observations taken at other wavelengths, will help understand the physics of how black holes snack and grow in size.